All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone for being here today and allowing me to share with you guys once again. The last time I was given the opportunity to speak, I had shared my testimony, the testimony of how God, you know, transformed me from gang member, prisoner, and atheist to a God-loving and God-fearing man. It was a blessing to share how God used my wife as a tool to bring me from living in the darkness to living in the light, which is Jesus Christ. I had also gave a message on capturing our thoughts and holding every thought captive before Christ. And God willing, we are still applying that daily and not meditating on things that bring no honor and glory to God. Well, today I'd like to share with you the areas in my life that God continues to work in. And I want to share the message that God has put in my heart and my mind. I want to redirect us on truly focusing on God and maturing in our walk with Christ. You know, I know from experience how easy it is for us to get caught up in work and play and family and our phones, you know. So many distractions out there. So much. And anyways, time flies, and it's easy for us to lose focus on God, to lose track, you know, it's easy for us to get off track, lose focus on God, and lose focus on His Word. We get caught up in the cycle. We get caught up in a cycle, and we start seeking things other than God, and committed to things other than getting into the Word of God. And you know what? That's right where the enemy wants us. Caught up in ourselves, eyes off of God, and given in to sin. We need to be committed, and committed without compromise. And we need to put God above our spouses, our kids, our work. Whatever it is that we're putting above God, we need to remove it, get out of our lives, and put God first. A while back I was reading, and Jesus, He's giving the Sermon on the Mount, and He's telling the people, you know, He's speaking to His disciples and these huge crowds, and He's telling them, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, you know, look at the birds of the sky, look at the grass of the fields, you know, your Heavenly Father feeds and clothes them. Are you not of more importance than them? You know, He says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. The world seeks after those things, but your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, Jesus was redirecting the people here. He's redirecting us. He knew where their hearts and minds were at. He knows where our hearts and minds are at. Like us, they were caught up in their day-to-day lives, worried about other things more than they worried about their relationship with God. They were committed to other things more than they were in their walk with God. You know, we're just like that. You know, we worry about our bills, we worry about our children, we worry about our house, we worry about all these things we have no control over. You know, we commit to things before we commit to things instead of growing. You know, committed to things that can grow spiritually. We commit to other things. So Jesus is redirecting us, and He's telling us, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. So how do we do that? How do we seek the kingdom first? Well, the only way to the kingdom is through the Father. The only way to the Father is through the Son and through His Word. We need to prioritize. I mean, what's the most important thing in our lives? Are we putting God first? Are we committed to Sundays here in the church so that we can hear the word of God through our pastor? Are we involved in small groups to build and strengthen each other through the word of God? Are we making time daily to study and be in the word of God? And are we seeking God with all of our heart through prayer and fasting? You know, when we come to church and we come together as a body here, we're growing. You know, we're able to be encouraged by the word of God through our pastor. You know, we're able to speak to each other and lift each other up. When we're involved in small groups, you know, it's a more intimate scene. You know, where we're able to really open up to each other and once again build each other up and carry each other's burdens. Prayer, you know, we need to be in prayer daily. You know, the word tells us pray without ceasing. So we need to put God first. You know, sometimes I would get off work and I'll have some downtime. And, you know, before dinner or before I go to sleep and I'll get on my phone. And I like to look at music, you know, I like to check out different Christian artists. And so I'm looking at videos or I'll be checking my emails, see what I got. And one of them that really sucks me in, though, is Facebook, you know. And I don't even have a Facebook page, you know. my wife has a Facebook, so she had opened it up on my phone. So I got caught up in just browsing it, you know. And it's like, and just seeing the people I know and what are they up to. And next thing you know, I just wasted 45 minutes, you know. And it's a trip. So, you know, we get sucked into that stuff. But you know, now I get on my phone and I'm about to open something up and I'm convicted. The Holy Spirit tells me, is this seeking the kingdom first? You have a reading plan and you're behind, you know. You know, how is YouTube or Facebook seeking the kingdom first? And I'm convicted and I have to go to the word. You know, praise God for the mighty power of the Holy Spirit who is in us, who strengthens us. You know, who leads us and convicts us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Shall be added to you. Now, this is a whole other part of it. You know, we have, you know, it starts off, seek the kingdom first, put God first. And then now we get to, and these things shall be added to you. Now we get to the promise. And it's a trip. This reminds me of prison. When I was in prison, when you get to prison, they have this handbook, and it's called the Title 15 Rules and Regulations. And so when you get to prison, they give you this handbook, and these are the rules that you're supposed to live by while you're incarcerated in the California Department of Corrections. But not only is it the rules, it also includes the consequences for breaking those rules. And so when you're found guilty of an offense, the wording they use is shall. Inmate shall lose 180 days. Inmate shall lose his yard privileges. Inmate shall lose his yard privileges. Whatever it was. And when it says inmate shall, the wording shall just means it's mandatory. You know, it's going to happen. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It's mandatory. They're going to enforce it. There's no wiggle room. You know, and that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, seek God, you know, seek God first above all else, and you'll receive all your needs, all your concerns. You know, you will be taking all your concerns will be taken care of. Your children, your marriage, your finances, your struggles. You know, let it go. Seek the kingdom of God and seek the kingdom first, and God will provide. It's not maybe they will be added to you. It's not God, you know, let me see what I can do, and they'll be added to you. It shall be added to you. It's going to happen. You know, and we need to stand firm. We need to stand firm on the promises of God. We need to have, you know, trust and faith in God. You know, that's his word. That's his promise to us. And yet we still worry about stuff. I mean, we still don't, you know, we still like to stray a little. You know, let's not let the enemy distract us and interfere with the relationship and blessings that God has in store for us. We all know that the enemy is the father of lies. And his only desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, Satan plants and whispers thoughts to us every day. He wages war against the spirit daily. We need to be aware of that. There's a mental part of it and the physical part of it. Which brings us to Luke 9, verse 23. Jesus is teaching again, and he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is a huge step towards maturing our spiritual walk with Christ. Self-denial. Dying to the flesh, just as Jesus did. You know, when Jesus picked up that cross and was beaten, spit on, mocked, he was fighting the flesh. He fought the flesh to the point of death and for us. He set the ultimate example. And here he's saying, if you desire me, let go of your worldly desires. Pick up your cross and die to the flesh and do it daily. Don't give in. Don't give in to temptation. You know, Jesus humbled himself and died for us. Let's think about that. You know, he was beaten for us. He hung on that cross for us. And when they got that spear and put it through his side and his blood poured out, he did that for us. And what is he asking from us? To have faith in him? To put our trust in him? To love him? Man, when you think about it like that, you know, there's no comparison, right? It's like, why, you know, why do we still make the choices that we make? Why, you know, why do we struggle to let go? Why do we give in and live for temporary pleasures, for things that will pass away, things that will never satisfy? You know, we need to pick up our cross and follow Christ. He is our example, as we are to be examples to others. You know, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, if we're not following Christ, who are we following? And if we are following Christ, shouldn't the people in our lives see Christ in us? When we come home to our spouses and our children, and we're talking about our day and living with them, do they see Christ in us? When we have a disagreement with our spouse and our kids and our family, you know, are we maintaining Christ-like characteristics? When we're at work, are we being a reflection of Christ? Are we staying away from gossip and not partaking in crude jokes? Are we patient, kind, and careful with our words? You know, when we're out at the stores or driving in our cars, are we a reflection of Christ? This is something to think about as you're interacting with your family, as you get to work and are interacting with your coworkers, and as we're out and about in the world. Are we being a reflection of Christ as God calls us to be? These are some of the things that God has been working on in my life, dying to the flesh and being a reflection of Christ. You see, before, if I had a bad day or something, you know, was bothering me, I'd want to go to the store. I'd want to get something to drink. You know, I'd want to give into the flesh. But today, thank God, those thoughts don't even cross my mind. Those desires of the flesh have been put to death through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before, if I felt I was being attacked by my wife, unprovokingly, you know, I'd get really angry. I'd keep my mouth shut and I'd hold it inside. But I was feeding the flesh. You know, I was feeding the flesh by giving in to anger. And that's not a reflection of Christ. Today, when I feel she's being unfair in her treatment towards me, I have grace. I forgive her. And I love on her. Right? And it's a similar situation with my daughter. It's a similar situation with my daughter, but I actually turned into a teenager and started bickering back and forth with her. Yeah, it's a trip, though, because she called me out on it a few weeks ago. You know, we're driving, and I asked her, everything's good. You know, I'm like, you know, hey, Adrian, how's your day? She's like, what? I'm like, how's your day going? She's like, good, why? I'm like, what are you tripping on? She's like, what are you tripping on? I said, man, I've just been a reflection of you. She's like, I know, why? And it hit me, you know? It hit me. I'm thinking, man, I'm in the wrong. I'm supposed to be a reflection of Christ. We're not supposed to be a reflection of you know, treat other people the way that they're treating us, you know? Yeah, it's crazy. You know, the pride of my flesh wanted to keep bickering back and forth. You know, the flesh is always acting up. The flesh is always trying to get us to go against the spirit. It's a constant battle. But, you know, I apologized to her and I said, you're right, and I'm sorry. You see, every day it's a battle. And that's why it's so important for us to stay focused on God. By seeking him out daily. Picking up our cross and dying to the flesh and being a reflection of Christ. Let's not just be hearers of the words, but doers of the word as well. About to wrap it up. That was pretty quick. And before I give it back to Pastor Sean, I'd like to thank you guys for your patience and for hearing me out. I'd also like to challenge you guys to identifying the distractions in your life that are keeping you from getting in the word and seeking him out. By seeking God out daily. What are we putting first? What are the things that we allow to distract us and take our eyes off of God? And, you know, not focusing on God. I also challenge you to be a reflection of Christ in your daily conversations, attitude, and heart. As a trip this morning, you know, this morning I'm praying. And, you know, I go on the side of my, I go in the room, I go on the side of my bed. You know, and I'm in there by myself. And my wife walks in. And I hear him walking in. I just keep praying. And I hear my son. He's like looking for dad. You know, dad, you know. And she's like, where's he at? And he's looking in the restroom. He's looking in the closet. And somehow he finds me on the side of the bed. And he's like, dad. And he's hitting me on my back. And so I keep praying. And next thing I know, he's next to me. He's kneeling down. And I look over. And he has his head down on the floor. And I look at it and I'm like, man, you know, like, what a blessing, you know? But, you know, so I encourage you guys, you know, to be a reflection of Christ daily, you know? Be an example to your family and to the world, you know? Let the people in the world see a difference in us. There should be a difference in us, you know? When we go to work, when we're out in the world with our family, I think too many of us, you know, Too many people who profess to be Christians, you know, kind of go out in the world and live a life completely opposite of what God, the life that God calls us to live in. It's a turnoff to the unbelievers. And if only all of us, you know, all the body, all over the world could really be a reflection of Christ, you know, of his love and his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, then it would make a huge difference in the body, you know, a huge difference in this world. So I challenge you guys to those two things. You know, what are the distractions? What are the distractions that we're allowing to interfere with our relationship with our God, with God, to interfere with our growth, our spiritual growth with God, and being a reflection, you know, being a reflection of God to our family, our friends, and just the people in the world. Well, I thank you guys for your time and allowing me to share with you guys, and God bless.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, Marcus. I sure appreciate that. I don't know how you communicated so much in such a short time. I don't know how that works, but that was awesome. Great challenge, too, right? Identify what's distracting you from following Christ, because that's really what it comes down to. He's just saying, follow me. And when you follow Christ, you don't know where he may take you. He knows where he's going to take you. But he may take you on a journey, and it's going to refine you and challenge you and test you. But the whole goal is so that the image of his son, Jesus Christ, can be formed in you. So following him, identify the distraction, whether it is Facebook, you know, or Pokemon Go. You know, what is that distraction, right? And follow the Lord. And then how are you going to reflect Christ? And have that in the front of your mind. You know, does this reflect Christ? Does this reflect Christ? Does this reflect Christ? Great word, great challenge. So let's pray right now. Let's, as we go to prayer, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come up here, but as you guys go to prayer, I'm just going to give a moment of silence. You turn your seat into your personal altar and ask God to seek your heart right now. And if there's anything that's standing in the way, ask him to expose that. Ask him to reveal that. If you're feeling distant and removed from him, ask him to tell you why. Is there anything in your life that's just hindering what he wants to do so you can hear his voice, so you can follow him unreservedly? Father, we thank you that you're speaking to us. Holy Spirit, keep talking. Remove the plugs from our ears. Get a hold of our attention. Ignite the fire and the passion in us, Father, to love you above all else. Father, you are the one who loves us more than our mind can get around, more than our emotions could ever feel. Your love is so deep and so eternal, and you've pledged yourself to us. Lord, I pray that we'd be totally satisfied with you. And so, Father, I pray for your church right now. I pray for us as Pastor Robles Community Church, God, that we would love you. And that, God, from that love, we would obediently just follow you, reflecting the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, wherever we go. God, I pray you'd have freedom to move in our midst, to move in our life, and that when we are out and about, we don't just leave behind what we hear. We walk with you. You're outside these doors. You're in the community. You're speaking to people who are far from you right now, but maybe totally confused, and they need the body to come around them. And we're your body. And so, Father, I pray for us as your church that we would walk in obedience to you. We'd be filled with your joy. We would be manifesting and bearing your fruit, and people would be able to see that. It's for their benefit. That's the fruit. It's for their benefit, not even ours. And so, God, I pray that you would take the word that Marcus shared, continue just to massage it into our heart and our mind, that we would desire you above all else, remove the distraction, and follow you. Lead us today. Lead us today in obedience to you. Give us eyes to see people who may be needing a word of encouragement. Give us eyes to see people who maybe be far from you and have been just cast aside by others, and they need an arm on their shoulder, just a hug. And Father, move us to be those people today, giving the hugs and the smiles and the words of encouragement, reflecting your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for being merciful and gracious with each one of us, for being patient with us until the image of your Son is fully formed in us. We thank you for that. Father, we offer ourselves back to you right now. And Lord, for the offering that we are receiving, it's not ours. This is your resources. These are your funds. Father, use it to bring glory to yourself and build your kingdom. For the prayer requests that are going to go into these baskets, God, I pray by faith that the people who are placing those requests in there, and the hurts that are in there, and the celebrations that are in there, that they know that they have a brothers and sisters, they have a body that's right around them, and we're weeping with them, and we are mourning with them, and yet we're rejoicing with them as well. And we'll be standing in that gap, and we'll be lifting their request and their praise all week. And so, God, I pray just your blessing over those who are placing in their offering of prayer request and the finances, God, that you would minister to each person individually. Reveal yourself as a loving, gracious, faithful God. We love you and we praise you. We look forward to seeing you soon. And so, Father, we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our soon coming King. It's in his name we pray. And all God's people would be in agreement would say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand this morning.